It was a something God had given me. I said this last week that this came to me while I was praying here, and I would just pray and I would write. And I'm going to get into some things this morning that I believe God spoke to me and spoke to me clearly. And I don't say that lightly. I don't just get up here and say God said a whole lot. But I tell you what I felt that day, that night. I can't deny what was taking place. And on this second part of this series, I want to talk to us on, I'm going to take the don't remove the landmarks, and I'm going to go another direction, and it's in the same thing. But if you will turn with me back to the verse that we started with last week, Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. If my voice doesn't hold out, we'll be all right. It's nice and loud, so that's good for me. It'll keep my voice intact. That's really the hardest part of the whole deal for me. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. A generation was raised up that did not even know. And last week I preached about don't remove the landmarks, and I listed a number as I was preaching. I preached through a number of landmarks that we need to make sure that we never lose. And today I feel compelled, and this is really what God spoke to me that day. After he told me about the don't remove the landmarks, and he told me what I was supposed to do, he said, I want you to then preach why the landmarks are gone. Why the landmarks are gone. Why and how do landmarks get removed in our lives? It's one thing to know I don't want to remove them. It's another thing to be able to say, how do I know if I'm starting to? How do I know if landmarks are being erased? So I'm going to subtitle this, Why the Landmarks Are Gone. Jesus, God, I ask once again that you help me. God, I feel this great responsibility. Lord, I feel an awesome responsibility right now to preach your word. There is a generation that is being raised up even right now. And God, I want to make sure that they can still see their way. And so God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to preach your word. God, that I can preach it with, Lord, with your anointing, with your power, with your unction, with boldness and with clarity. God, I recognize I can't do this without your help. And so I ask right now that you will anoint my lips. God, anoint my mind to preach your word, as I feel so strongly that you've given it to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Why the landmarks are gone. The children of Israel had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. A whole generation of people who had seen the miracles of Egypt had now passed, and there was this new generation that was not so new anymore. They were all of those people who were under the age of 20 when Israel didn't go into the promised land the first time. They are now older. Joshua, their leader, by this time, according to the historian Josephus, is 85 years old. They are now finally going to possess the land that was promised to their fathers. And so God gives them a miracle like the one he gave their parents, letting them know he is the same God today that he was before. He wanted them to know that when they are going to go before this land of their promise, they needed to know that this God who brought their parents out of Egypt was going to be the same God who took them into the promised land. They needed to know, and somebody in this place needs to know today, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is the God that doesn't change. And so they receive this miracle, and God leads them to the Jordan River. But not just at any time. The Bible says that he did it while the river overflowed her banks. It was at this time that the Jordan River was at its deepest point, its widest point, and rushing with its greatest force. It is said that this river at this point would have been at least 10 to 12 feet deep with water that was rushing. It would have been impossible for them to cross this river, except for one reason. They had a God who said, "You're crossing the river." They had a God who said, "I want you on the other side." They had a God who said, "I'm going to be with you, and your promise is over there." And I'm telling you today, all you need is a promise from God. All you need is to know that God's going to take you there, and I can guarantee you, you'll get there if you're willing to step out. And this same God said, "You're crossing," and provided them a miracle so that they could cross this river. And just as in the days of Moses, when God dried up the Red Sea, God here dries up the Jordan River, and a whole nation crosses over to claim their promised land. It is here at this juncture, it is here at this point that I want to pick up this story in the scriptures. Because before they ever began, hear me right now, before they ever began to conquer their promised land, before they ever took possession of what God said he wanted them to have, God said, "Wait a minute, before you go, I want you to set up a landmark." Before they ever faced Jericho, before they ever faced Ai, before they ever fought their enemies, God said, "You must first set a landmark." In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 4, it records it like this. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, 'What mean ye these stones. The purpose for their landmark is placed right here. It was so that the next generations would look and see this mark. They would see those stones. They would see this landmark. And they would say, what do these stones mean? Oh, can I just tell you right now, before I even get into this totally, don't be afraid when your children ask you questions. Don't be ashamed if you're willing to hold on to what the Word of God says. Don't be ashamed when the world says one thing and your kids say, Dad, why don't we do that? And Dad, why do you want us to do this? I'm here to tell you the purpose for that is simply because God said, I want you to put some stones to be a landmark so they'll ask the question. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask your fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I want you to notice that passage. Those stones were supposed to be permanent. Those stones were supposed to be there forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. And they took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the priests, where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. I want you to notice this. They told the priests to step into the water. Now you have to remember, the water was overflowed, so it was not in the middle of the Jordan River. It was at the brink of the Jordan when it overflowed. So when the waters receded back, here was a monument that was standing on the land. And Joshua, in the book of Joshua, says it's there unto this day. Now I want you to notice why God told them to set this landmark. In Joshua 4 and verse 23, it says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth, everybody say everybody. Everybody, not just here, everybody, that everybody should know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that we have a God who is in control, we have a God who has power, we have a God who we are, somebody hear me, we our God is mighty. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And so we see the children of Israel set a monument, and they set a landmark. They took 12 stones. Now, I don't believe it was 12 pebbles. It wasn't like David, who went down to the stream and found some stones that he could throw. These were stones that were big, that were heavy, that they could carry and bring and lay over at Joshua's feet. And he set them there as a landmark. It was there to mark something. It was to let them know that God is mighty and we need to fear him. And so we make it to Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And then 3 verses later, and also that generation was gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I read this and I remembered Joshua, and it hit me so strong that I had to ask this question: what happened to the landmark? What happened to those 12 stones that Joshua set up? Because at the close of the book of Joshua, Joshua says they're still there. But one book later, just one book later, all of a sudden, we don't hear any more mention about the 12 stones. And we find that a generation grew up that did not know they even existed. The landmark was gone. The book of Joshua says that it was there unto this day. But somehow, by the time of Judges, the rocks had either been swept away, covered up, destroyed, or all together forgotten. And instead of a generation, hear me, knowing the power of God, instead of them knowing the works of God, instead of them knowing the commandments of God, there is a generation that the book of Judges records as it closes in Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. At the close of the book of Judges, you find that there was no one to lead them. There was no one to guide them. The landmark had vanished. And now you have a people who is just doing what they're doing because of their own conscience. And I'm here to tell you, every time a man, every time a people has been left to their own conscience, it's always been tragic. Every time the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? And so I stand here in boldness and with the burden, and I tell us, somehow we've got to make sure that the landmark is still there. Somehow I've got to make sure that our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids, they all know that there is a landmark. I'll tell you what, if we leave them to their own devices, if we leave them to their own imagination, it's not going to lead them. I'm telling you, the reason we have a world in chaos right now is not because of God or the Bible. It's because there's been too many that have said, I don't need that landmark anymore. I don't need that anymore. I don't need that anymore. And I don't need that anymore. And because of that, generations grow up. And they don't even know. And so they say, well, this is what makes me feel good. And this is what matters to me. And this is what's important to me. And this is what I... It's a sad day when we live according to our own flesh, when we live according to our own desires and according to our own wills. I'm here to tell you that we need to live according to the landmarks that have been set in our lives. But wait a minute. I thought they were supposed to see the landmark and ask their fathers. Dads, hear me. I could preach this for Father's Day if I wanted. Dads, listen. What do these stones mean? I better know. Can I just share with you a story? I'm proud of this, but you remember last Sunday as I was preaching, I used this platform and I said, I don't want to put the line right here. I want to put the line back here because just in case you go over, I would still rather you be safe. But if you're at the edge and I set the line right here and you go over, it's over for you. How many remember me saying that last week? I woke up this morning and Jared handed me a piece of paper. I meant to bring it. I wish I would have, but I can almost quote it. He wrote on the top of it, fences. And I asked him afterwards, I said, Jared, did you listen to my message? Did you go online? Did you find it? He says, no, I just have been in me for a couple months. Sorry, he's 9. He said, on the platform, I'm not lying, did he not? It looks safe. And it seems to be okay. And from where you're standing, it's okay. He said, but if you go too far, you fall off. He said, if you go too far, and he said, look, he said, he wrote this. He said, sin looks fun. Did he not? Sin looks fun. I'm preaching a 9-year-old sermon. Sin looks fun. But the reason for the fences is not to keep you from having fun. The reason for the fences is to keep you safe. That's what a 9-year-old understands. I'm here to tell you, I'm trying to get this instilled in our children. I'm trying to help them to understand. And all of us together can work together to make sure they understand that it may look fun out there. It may seem like it's good. And I may be able to creep up to the fence. And it may be okay. But why take the chance? I'll stay safe. Dad, what do these stones mean? Mom, what was the reason for this landmark? This was supposed to be there forever. They were supposed to know the mighty hand of God forever. They were supposed to fear God forever. This was supposed to be instilled in them, and they were supposed to be able to see the landmark and know. The purpose for the landmark was so that the children would ask questions and the parents would have an opportunity to tell them about the things of God. Don't ever skirt around it. Don't ever dodge it. You better talk to them when you're sitting down, when you're rising up, when you're laying down. It doesn't matter where, when, how. You talk to them about the things of God. You grandparents, if your grandchildren and your children aren't here, I admonish you, take every opportunity when you're with those grandbabies to instill in them the things of God while you can. Amen. Amen. But something happened to the landmark. I want you to know that the landmark that was placed there has been gone forever. You can't find it today. It's not there today. It's been lost forever. That is the tragedy. Because I stand here to tell you that if the landmark had still stood there in Judges, they would not have been asking the same question. It would not have been, and there arose a generation that knew not God. It is here that God began to speak with me a couple weeks ago while in prayer. And he first of all told me the landmarks that we need to keep. And you heard me talk about that last week. But he also told me three reasons why the landmarks are gone. And just like the children of Israel, it's up to us. And this is what I believe God spoke to me. As I stand here today, I tell you this: we are not a denomination. We are a movement. Hold with me. The Bible tells us the wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell which way it goes. But then the Bible says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God moves the same as it did the day God created the universe. When the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And if you and I are going to be what God wants us to be, we have to be willing to move with the Spirit. I cannot become stuck or stagnant where I am. The Spirit moves, I move. The Spirit leads me, I go. Oh. This came to me not long ago. That's why we have a form of godliness. Because the power is denied. The reason the Bible says the last days there will be a form of godliness is because the power has been denied. How do you deny the power? I'll tell you quickly. It's when you deny his moving in your life. When you deny to allow his Spirit to lead you and to guide you. The Bible says that it's his Spirit that leads us into all truth. And so I have to be willing to allow his Spirit to lead me into truth. Because the power is denied when we do not allow his Spirit to move in our lives, we are in literally only become a form of godliness. Instead of a movement, we become a monument. And we're stuck. And we wonder, why doesn't anybody want to be a part of us? Why doesn't it? I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of God needs to have free course of reign and free course of action. He should be able to tell us, look, I don't even need you to preach right now. I need everybody to worship. He should be able to say, it's time to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He should be able to tell us. But just as I say, we are not a denomination. I also want to make it clear today that I will not be intimidated into being non-denominational. You must hear me. We are not non-denominational. We are apostolic, and that's what I want to be. I want to be apostolic. I'm not non-denominational. I believe the Word of God and the apostles' doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That has to be alive and well. In Ephesians 2 and 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In whom ye are fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. In whom also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let me tell you, if this foundation isn't on Christ and upon what the apostles and the prophets taught us, we are in the wrong place. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let me tell you, if we're not apostolic, we're not saving anybody. I'm playing church. In Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for... what's the common salvation? Let me just back up just a minute. It's the salvation that the apostles taught. That Jesus told them to teach. The apostles didn't wait for Jesus to die and then build another foundation. The apostles took what Jesus taught and they built their next layer upon the foundation that was Christ. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. That means motivate, challenge you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. God is telling us that in these last days, there's going to be all kinds of winds of doctrine, but there's got to be a church that's willing to contend for the faith. There's some things that the saints had that I still want. Amen. 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 This came to me in prayer. The second reason, and I'm almost done. The second reason, the landmarks are gone. How many know what the first one is? It's fear and intimidation. I make that point clear. I'm not going to be intimidated by what they say. The second reason the landmarks are gone is because of hurt. Not just a little minor thing, but a deep wound. Look at Luke 15, verse 7 tells us, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Let me ask some questions here. First, how did the sheep get lost? Can I tell you it got lost because it got lost? It lost sight of the landmarks. The reason the sheep got lost is because it lost sight of the landmarks. I don't know if it got discouraged, if it got, torn by different things and it got pulled away, but it lost sight of where it was supposed to be. And before it knew it, here it was stuck in a place and it didn't know how I'm going to get back. It was going along, it wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden it's lost. Now what about the coin? Can I tell you right now, the coin did not get lost by itself. It became lost because it was dropped or misplaced or neglected. Can I say this? It was in the house all along. It was in the house all along. But it was lost. Why? Because it was hurt. It was dropped. It was misplaced. It was neglected. There was a hurt that took place. There was a hurt that happened. And it found itself. It may have been coming to the house of God. It may have been showing up. But it was lost because of deep wounds. I'm here to tell you that the reason landmarks are lost is because people get hurt. They lose sight. Hurting, it was wounded, and it was lost nonetheless. It wasn't lost by its own choice. It was lost because of someone else. The last time I checked, a coin doesn't have legs. It got lost because someone did something to it. And we lose sight of the landmark. And we let the landmark go away because we're hurt and we're wounded. And people have wounded us and people have done things to us. And we carry it. And God's saying, I don't want you to have it. And instead of looking to the landmark, instead of looking to the Word of God, instead of finding a place before him and running to that landmark, we lose sight and we drift away. Can I tell you today that the master is in this house, and someone who has been hurt and someone who has been wounded and someone who has felt some serious wounds in your life, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to carry them any longer. You no longer have to walk around wounded, bewildered, hurting. You no longer have to carry that with you. I'm here to tell you that the master is in this house. And he is looking to find you. And he's going to pick you up. And he's going to dust you off. And he's going to clean you up. And he's going to present you to his friends and say, look, what was lost but now is found. That landmark can be found again. That landmark can be restored. And as I close with a third landmark that God revealed to me. This one to me is the most dangerous. Because this one can't affect the other two. The reason this one is most dangerous is because you don't see it happening. Hear me. You don't see it taking place. I can tell you others might see it, but they can't say anything to you. Your pastor may see it, but he can't say anything to you. Because at this moment, if he does, and at this moment, if he challenges you, and at this moment, if he comes to you and tells you, you can become offended. This is a dangerous place to be. It's so subtle. It happens many times, hear me, at the point of success. And at the place where you feel as though things are going great. Hear me, this is when it's most dangerous. It happens to so many this way. And in my opinion, is the greatest danger to the church. It is simply complacency. And with complacency comes neglect. And what I believe God spoke to me and told me was that it was the sands of time that blow over that cause the losing of the landmark. It once stood there proud. It once stood there for a purpose. It once stood there for a reason. But in the height of our success, when I was born again, filled with the Spirit, when things were going great in my life, when all was going fine, there was a landmark that I neglected. There was a landmark that I ignored. There was a landmark that I didn't worry about. And before I knew it, the sands of time. There are whole cities lost today because of the sands of time. My wife just told me the other day, there was some mummy that was just found. It had been lost for like 1,300 years. What happens? Complacency sets in. And with complacency comes neglect. And we don't realize it's happening. And we don't realize it's taking place. And we don't know what's happening. And the landmark's there. And it once was in plain view. And we're just sort of drifting away. So subtly. So quietly. No one really sees it. You can't see it in yourself. You can't recognize it in yourself. You don't even know it's happening. It once stood with such prominence. It once was so important to me. But time and change has worn at it. Because of neglect, the brambles and the weeds grew around it. And I didn't even notice that the landmark was gone. It decayed from lack of care and concern. It was worn because it was no longer important. It was no longer cultivated, protected, or preserved. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. To me, that is where the danger is. Let me preach to those of us who have been living for God for many years. And I count myself among you. I was raised in this. I lived in this. I've known nothing but to live for God. That's what was taught to me. That's the landmark that was set before me. But can I tell you, I can't just do it because my parents did it. That landmark has to become important to me. They've done their best to help me to see it's important, to help me to recognize that it's important. Now, what do I do with it? Those of us who have been serving God for many years need to make sure that we don't become complacent with the things that God wants us to mark. He's given it to us for a reason, because my complacency will not affect me. My complacency will affect my kids. Right. Let's all stand. I don't know this morning if you feel as though one of these three, maybe one of them stuck with you more than another. Maybe one of them, as I was preaching, grabbed a hold of you and you felt the weight of it, you felt the burden of it. I ask you, by you coming down to this altar and by you kneeling before God and by you doing that is not saying that you're lost. It's not saying that there's something wrong with you. You know what it's saying? I just want to make sure that I'm not neglecting the landmark. And God, I want you to search me. And God, I want you to look inside of me. And I want you to see if there's something there that maybe I've neglected, maybe I've let go. If there's something there, maybe there's a hurt today that you've never dealt with. I'm asking you to come and find you a place and seek God. I'm asking you, not just for your sake, not just for your sake. You've got kids, you've got grandkids, you've got friends, you've got family, and they need to see the land. Can't preach it any stronger. It's now in your hands. What you do with this message is now up to you. Jesus. We have a job to do together. We have a job to do together. We have a job to do together. I can't change anything that's happened in the past, except only to say I can do something about the landmarks. I can't change what has happened already. I can't take that back, but I can start rebuilding. I can start remaking. I can start rebuilding those landmarks again. I can start putting them back. I can start getting them replaced. I can start getting them restored. Jesus. Jesus. I don't care where you are. Find a place. If it's in your seat, I just begin to seek him right now. Call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Understand today what he's wanting to do in your life and in your family and in your children and in your grandchildren and in your church. Understand what God is wanting us to do. The reason for Sunday school is to build landmarks. The reason for the New Life class is to build landmarks. It's to show this is where we are. This is what it is. This is where you need to be. Take hold of it. Recognize it. Take it for yourself. Determine in yourself, I'm going to make sure the landmarks are still there. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to take inventory. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to look through my life and see if I've possibly neglected some of the things that God has thought was so important to me.